Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
All right.
Yes.
It's been a rousing number, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love the lyrics from some of the old hymns. They're just so like... Not that the new songs lack anything, but there's just something about... I don't know. Something like when you go to a men's conference in particular to hear men joining together in one voice to sing some of those... old hymns is just like, whoa, anybody who's got a Mandate album is just like, whoa. Yeah. It's kind of like, it really stirs something in you. We went over to the Mandate in Ireland a number of years ago now. It was just an amazing time during the worship of just all these guys together. Something about men being together in one place. Something about everybody being together in one place. But men singing together kind of has that football crowd feel about it. Which is a bit different. I don't know. Maybe a... I mean, I'm not going to go any further than that. I'm stopping there. Okay, so we're starting a new series this month. More is the name of our series. It's a word that I hear quite a lot at the moment. Yeah. It's one of the words that Elijah has got down. More. Especially when regarding chocolate or anything else that he's kind of, he really wants. The word more was one of the first words that he developed to say very clearly. And he certainly knows how to express what he wants more. So I'm kind of going to be hearing it a little bit more now. And this series, I'm really excited about this particular series because as we move into it and throughout this month, we're going to be looking at more as in an infinite God. And a God that there's far more to him than we know. He's a God who we try to understand and we try to get a grasp of, but yet, even when we think we've got it, we realise there's still something that we haven't got. Yeah. We realise that there is still more. And as we go on that journey, as we work through that journey of faith, as we work through that journey of life, and as we go on that adventure, we start to realise every single step of the way there's more to God than I've noticed or I've realised before. And there's going to be four parts to this. We're starting today looking at how God loves us more than we know or realise. We're also going to be looking at, in coming weeks, looking at that God has put more in you, that there is more to God, and that God has got more for us.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of more, and that's a good thing, because when we want more of God, we're desiring a good thing. And I'm going to read, firstly, starting from Ephesians, and I'm going to be, if you want to follow it, it's Ephesians 4, and starting at verse 20. And the whole series is going to be hanging on this particular scripture from the book of Ephesians. If you don't have your Bible with you, don't worry, don't feel left out. I'm going to read it anyway. And it says this, it says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power, to work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." And I love that. That once we get to the point where we think, okay, Ephesians 3, sorry, you know why? I'm going to explain myself. My case is, there's a chapter 4 there. 3 starts on the other page. I saw 4. And it's at the top of the page. I'm surrounded by number 4, so I said number 4. It's like subliminal messaging from my Bible. 3, sorry, there you go, 3. It's been on my board all week, I've got no excuse. Yeah, chapter 3, 20. But I love the scripture of, that it says that even though we think we get to a certain point and we think, I've got it, but then there's still more than we can ask or think. And it was, as humans, we so like to try and project our human thinking onto something. It's like, well, I've got to make sense of this, so this is my view of how this makes sense. So I need to understand God.
Yeah.
So I'm going to project my model and my version of an earthly father onto God, because God is a heavenly father, and the only experience I have of a father is my earthly father. So to understand God more, I'm going to project this image onto that God. And what we do when we do that is we limit God so much more than God is worth. And God is far greater than the image of our earthly fathers. And sometimes we run a risk, you know, I can stand here and say that I was privileged growing up because I had a good father. I had a good mother. I had a mother and father that cared for me, that looked out for me, that raised me well. That I say they raised me well. Everybody's thinking, well, that's what you think. Yeah, they raised me well. And what was produced out of that was a good son. And for me, I wouldn't necessarily be all that disappointed if I projected my earthly father's image onto my heavenly father, because I'm proud of my dad and I'm proud of what he's achieved and I'm proud of the fact that he worked hard as we were growing up to provide for us. He worked hard to ensure that we had what we needed. He worked hard so that my mother could stay at home and look after us and raise us. And so I take my hat off to him. He worked hard in a number of industries that weren't an easy industry to work in. You know, earlier when we were younger, working down the mines, working down the pits, and really going down into the depths of the earth. And so for me, it wouldn't be an issue necessarily to project my earthly father's image onto my heavenly father, because I think, well, that's all right, actually. That's quite a good image to have. But for some people, it might be, well, my earthly father, we just didn't get on. My earthly father, he was an absent father. He wasn't there. He didn't do life how I would have wanted him to. But then that's when we're in the danger of projecting that earthly image onto an infinite God and a loving God who we think, well, if that's what my dad was like, then that must be what God's like. And we know that that's not what God's like. God is far different. God is far greater than anything that we can imagine. And there is more to God than we can. And today I want to look at how God loves us more than we know. Yeah. And it's something that we know. It's something that you can say to people, especially you like drive-by evangelists who wind your window down and go, Jesus loves you! And then you drive off and that's it. That's your evangelism for the day, or your shout, Jesus loves you! And then that's it. You're kind of like, whoa, you're gone. Like, that's my bit done for the day. Go and have my cup of tea. I've evangelized. I'm happy. Okay, God, I've done your bit. So we like to shout, Jesus loves you. We like to tell people, God loves you. And yet, we say it all the time, and we know God loves us. And we know we have a God who loves us because he's demonstrated his love for us. And I'm going to come to that in a bit. He's demonstrated that love in a way that we heard in that last song, that the wondrous cross of Jesus, that he sent his only son to die for us. He demonstrated his love in that way. He says, I love you this much. I'm willing to give everything for you. Yeah. And what I love about that is that God loves us even more than we know. That even if it was only you and him, he would have still done it. That's how much he pursues after us. That's how much he loves us. But yet we still limit that love. We still haven't got a grasp, and we still don't catch a hold of the love that God has for us. And there is more of that for us to access all the time. Every time we're thinking of God, it's like, okay, this love of God. And what we run this danger of doing is, with regards to the love of God, we start to link our happiness to God's love. And we start to think, well, if God loved me, I'd be happy. If God really loved me, he'd give me what makes me happy. If God loved me, why am I not allowed to do that? Or if God loved me, how come he doesn't let me do this? And we start to project this image of saying, okay, well, God can't love me because he doesn't let this happen. Or why did God allow that to happen? It's the question you get all the time, isn't it, from most people who are pursuing after God. You know, why is there all this bad stuff in the world? If God's such a loving God, then why does this happen? And, you know, we're left to our own devices on that one. The bad stuff happens because we're bad at doing stuff generally. But this love that God's got for us is far greater and far more than we even grasp. And we can read John 3:16 over and over again. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him won't die but will have eternal life. And we can read it, we can preach it, we can meditate on it, we can sit there with it all the time. But yet there's still more of God's love to be released. Yeah. And we don't want to fall into this trap of saying, well, maybe God doesn't love me as much because I don't have the things that they've got, and they seem really happy because they have those things, but I don't have them, so therefore I'm not happy, so therefore God loves me less. God loves us all the same.
That's right.
God doesn't have favourites, we're told in the Bible. He doesn't have favourites. He's He died the same way for everybody.
Yeah.
He died the same way for every person. And as I say, if it had just been you, he would have been willing to do it anyway. But there is more to his love. And as we start to break that perception of, okay, my happiness is linked to God's love, we start to realise that actually what God's love is for us is far greater than our happiness. It's more about our fulfilment.
Yeah, that's good.
God loves us so much that he doesn't necessarily want to see you happy. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be joyful.
Yeah.
But it's not his greatest concern. He loves you so much that his greatest concern is your fulfillment,
yeah.
A fulfilled life, yeah. A fulfilled spirit, a fulfilled soul, a satisfied life,
yeah.
Which says, I know God loves me because I feel so satisfied. And even though this is happening and I'm not happy about it, I'm okay with it because I'm fulfilled.
Yeah.
And there's the difference. And I was at this situation with Elijah this last week. A two-year-old boy had got back from Gloucester and you can shout out if you like this time. He stayed reserved last night, did Steve, when I mentioned Gloucester. Anyway, long story short, I'd bought Elijah a little gift. I like to buy him something when I go somewhere. So what he'd got from Gloucester was a chocolate pig.
Yay.
Not sure what that says about Gloucester. It was a choice of a pig, a cow, a chicken or a sheep. So he had the pig. It's because I got me and Sam some really nice sausage rolls. So that was the link, you see. And like, we have the sausage rolls, he has the pig. There you go. And I'd showed him this chocolate pig after his dinner because if he eats all his dinner, he gets a treat. Because I love him, and I love him enough to have bought him this chocolate pig. And that was my way of expressing my love to my son, is I've been away for the day, I've not seen you as much today as I would have liked, but here's a chocolate pig, because I love you. Now, the point came, this chocolate pig was about this big. This is where the more comes in. I gave him a nice portion of a chocolate pig after his dinner. I said, okay, there you go, there's your portion, that's what you're going to have today. Like, no, more. And I could see he was getting upset. He was getting kind of agitated that he wanted more. He would have eaten the whole thing, given the chance. But and he might have been thinking to himself, well, if my dad loves me, then why is he not interested in me being happy? Because it would make me really happy to have all of that chocolate pig. I would be really happy if my dad let me have the whole of that chocolate pig. I mean, like, come on, it's like, it looked nice. I've not even tried any yet. I'm going to have to try and sneak some. If I try and have a bite of it when he's like... when he's there, it's kind of like, yeah, mine. We are teaching sharing at the moment, but I'm not going to have that battle over a chocolate pig. Choose your battles, be wise. I love him enough to have bought him it, but I also love him enough to recognise at this point your happiness isn't the highest priority. Your health is my highest priority. You... looking after yourself and me looking after you and making a decision on something that you can't quite make for yourself yet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised I was able to make the decision for him because I'm absolutely the same. If I've got the choice, I'm kind of like more. I kind of like need Sam to be next to me at the Kismat buffet because kind of like, you know, that's enough now. I'm like, more. I was very pleased on Friday, Darren's birthday, actually, because I went home actually feeling okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah. I don't know if that's because I had water instead, but drinking water with it as well. I was like, I feel all right. It's the first time I've come out of that place in 3 years and I've not felt uncomfortable. So, because my wife loves me enough to recognise that it's not my happiness that's necessarily the fullness of the highest goal. It's my health. It's my fulfillment. And I wouldn't have been very fulfilled had I have been laid in bed all night, uncomfortable, not been able to sleep. And we sometimes recognise we've gone and think, well, if God loves me, why can't I have the whole chocolate pig? If God loves me, if my Heavenly Father loves me, why won't he let me have what I want? Why can't I have the faster car? Why can't I have the bigger house? Why can't I have the higher paid salary? Why can't I have these things? Because they will make me happy. But God is saying, at points, I love it when you're happy. I want you to be happy. I'm your father. I want you to be blessed.
Mm.
But your fulfillment and your health is far more priority to me. I love you enough. I love you more than you can know. And you might not be able to understand why you're not allowed that, or you can't do that, or you can't do this. But I love you so much, I'm going to have to withdraw, I'm going to have to keep that. And often people say, don't they, how they desire and they hunger for fame, or the desire and they hunger for finance, and you kind of, you hear it on the X Factor or The Voice, and that it's the same old story, isn't it? Why do you want to win the X Factor? Oh, I want to be famous, I want to win. But I actually like it when somebody comes on X Factor and says, well, I just like music. You know, I just like singing, I love doing it, and I want to make a career out of it. I'm really annoyed when the people are gone and they're kind of like, well, I just want to be famous. I want the money, I want the car, I want the house, I want the supermodel girlfriend, I want everything that kind of comes with it. And yet they get it all, and they're happy for a time, but the fulfillment's not there. The fulfillment goes. You just look at anybody who's familiar with X Factor. You know, I don't think there's one X Factor winner at the moment that's sustained a good career. Winners. I'm not talking about One Direction here. You see? They didn't get it all at once, did they? But there you go. They're kind of different story altogether. We're off that series now. Still carries over. But there's that lack of fulfillment is still there. That is still there. Happiness lasts for a short time, but fulfillment continues to grow. Happiness changes with your situation. Things change, your happiness goes. Things change, your happiness comes. Things change, fulfillment remains. Things change, fulfillment continues. Things change, fulfillment continues to grow on the inside of you, because God is saying, my highest priority is for you to be fulfilled, not happy. Mm-hmm. And you know, we know that it says in the Bible that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it talks about joy. And joy is something different. We can choose to be joyful regardless. Be joyful in all things. And that whole situation of moving through life, happy, joyful. We had this discussion the other day, what's the difference between happy and joyful? I was kind of, I'd say happy is more of the feeling. Joy is a choice. You can choose to be joyful. You can be having the most miserable day ever, but you can choose to be joyful. But, okay, because Paul in the Bible writes and he says, in all things, be joyful.
Yeah.
Rejoice in all those situations. But you've got to choose to do that.
Right.
It doesn't automatically happen.
Right.
Miserable is a choice. Joy is a choice. Happiness kind of is a bit more fluid. Kind of like, I'm really happy today. So, I really wanted to sing the song then, but we've got to sort out this copyright stuff just so I can sing the songs in the middle of the preachers. I'd have done a dance as well. There you go. Never mind. Our happiness is something. I'm not going to do it. You're all waiting now, aren't you? I'll do it later when we're off the recording. No. I don't want to make more work for the Mises on their podcast. The happiness that God has got for us, of course he's interested in his happy. He wants his children to be happy. Anybody who's got children of their own, they want them to be happy. They want to look and say, I want to make you happy, but I can see that this is only going to make you happy for a short time. So Elijah would have been happy, and he would have loved getting covered in chocolate. He would have loved having the chocolate pig everywhere and scoffing the whole thing. He wouldn't have been too happy at midnight when he's starting throwing it back up. Okay, neither would I, actually. And God's kind of like saying, okay, I know it's going to make you happy for now, but see the bigger picture, because I love you more than you know.
Yes. Yes.
I love you more than you can imagine. I love you more than people have even told you. And because of that, I'm looking out for it. And we kind of get caught up on this whole happiness thing and a life of the Declaration of Independence in the States, the pursuit of happiness. And I kind of did a bit of research into the pursuit of happiness, because thinking, okay, well, what's all that about? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the Declaration of Independence, and what does it really mean? Because what does it mean to pursue happiness? And the only understanding I'd got of it was from a Rocky clip where he's kind of like trying to convince somebody that it's okay to fight. And he's kind of like, you know, have I not got rights or something? What's that plaque down there? Don't that talk about rights? Kind of like, yeah, well, that's the Bill of Rights. He's like, okay, well, what about, don't it give me the option to say, I can be happy? They're like, that's the pursuit of happiness. What's your point, Mr. Balboa? But my point is that I'm pursuing something and don't nobody look too happy about it. I was kind of like, that's the only understanding I got of the, so I had a look and I found some great information. I just thought how much this is of not only happiness, but speaks of fulfillment as well. And how at the time of the writing of the Declaration of Independence and the founding fathers writing the pursuit of happiness was something different to how we perceive happiness today. So just have a listen to this. This is in the notes that while in modern times there is a hedonistic component to the definition of happiness. For the farmers of the Declaration of Independence, happiness meant that feeling of self-worth and dignity you acquire by contributing to your community and to its civic life. In the context of the Declaration of Independence, happiness was about an individual's contribution to society rather than the pursuit of self-gratification. And I was like, wow, that's a bit different to our modern day version of happiness. If we kind of, we see pursuit of happiness today and it's like, okay, pursuit of happiness, I'm off. And it's a bit of a prodigal son scenario, isn't it? I'm going to go, I'm going to get the car, I'm going to get the job, I'm going to get the whatever else, I'm going to go to all the concerts I want to go to, I'm going to do all the things that make me happy, and at some point that happiness is going to stick. But yeah, it doesn't. And we've all probably been there at some point in our life where we're trying things all the time, we're thinking, but God wants me to be happy, so I'll do this, God wants me to be happy, so I'll do this, and it's like, I'm not happy, God, why am I not happy? And the reason being is that God says, he didn't say, be happy as I am happy. Mm-hmm. He said, be holy as I am holy. And that's to live a different way. And as we live holy and as we pursue holiness, not happiness, which is to live God's way, we start to find fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And as we find fulfillment, we just like roll through life. Things happen, rubbish happens, but yet we continue to burst through into life in such a way that even though there's no happiness, we're kind of fulfilled. It's like, I'm okay with this. I'm going to keep rolling with this because I don't have an issue with this situation. I'm not happy about it. And we often hear people say that, don't we? Like, I'm not happy about this situation. It's like, well, yeah. And God kind of sometimes looks at us and says, I'm not happy about it either, mate. But, you know, we're agreeing on that one. But when he said, I want to see you fulfilled, I want to see you living a life that is your call, that is your destiny, because I love you so much that I didn't make a way. Jesus didn't die on the cross to make us happy. Mm. He died so that we could be saved, so that we could be delivered, redeemed and fulfilled. Yeah. There's the four components that we'd looked at a few weeks ago. Saved, delivered, redeemed, fulfilled. And that's that journey. And he died so we could take that journey. Happiness doesn't come into the equation. And what I love about that link with the Declaration of Independence, about how their view of happiness was about finding worth in contributing to the community. And I kind of like the link in there somewhere with the Beatitudes and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he's saying, blessed is whoever, because they will be whatever. And as I started to look at that, and most of us that understand the word blessed will know that one of the translations of blessed is happy. So you can read the Sermon on the Mount as happy are the peacemakers, because, and as we go through. And I was thinking how we can say happy are these people, because then there's a response. They're happy because they are adding value. Their pursuit of happiness is because they're being peacemakers. Their pursuit of happiness is because they are hungering after God. Their pursuit of happiness is all those things that Jesus lists in that thing. It's like the happiness isn't just a, ooh, great, that's a nice feeling. The happiness is, okay, you will be happy if you do this.
Yes.
The Declaration of Independence says, you know, pursuit of happiness is about going out and pursuing happiness in a way that is adding value to your community, mm-hmm. adding value to the people around you. And as you do that, you find a happiness that you can't find in anything else. And you see the blessing coming. And to live a happy life is something totally different to live the blessed life. To be blessed is different to be happy. To be happy is just something that it comes and goes. We've all been happy. I'm kind of happy today. You know, I'm having a happy day. Ooh, happy day. I can sing that one because it's a, yeah. A happy day. And we have happy days, but we have sad days. You know, we have to get over our sad days. My poster in my office, my new posters, you know. When you get sad, stop being sad and be awesome instead.
Yeah, come on.
You know, it's a choice, it's a decision. Yeah. Okay, I feel sad, I'm not going to be sad. I'm going to be awesome instead. Yeah. I'm going to activate my awesomeness and get on with life. Okay. If you've not seen, come and see me sometime so you can see my poster upstairs. And as you do that, as you activate that in your life, as you start to see this link between my happiness, my fulfillment and blessing, And we sometimes get mixed up with blessing as well, because we think, well, we sometimes link the word bless to things that are not really a blessing, they're more of a privilege. So I can say, well, I'm blessed, because, I don't know, when I eventually get my Mini Cooper Sport, how blessed I am that I've got a Mini Cooper Sport at last. It's transformed from the 21st birthday cake I had 10 years ago into a real car. Or the mini version that Elijah's got. I was telling him yesterday, I took him out in his Mini Cooper. Some people have seen us going around Boston in it. I'm thinking, I'm pushing you around in a better car than mine. It's like this big, I'm not going to fit in that. I really wanted to go in the big car. It's got baby car and big car. I was like, we can't go in the baby car. Oh, I can't go in the baby car with you. I'm not going to fit. But I can push you in it. So, but if I could say, I've been blessed with a Mini Cooper Sport. And I think, have I been blessed? Or am I privileged? Mm-hmm. And is there a difference? And I started to realise that I can actually live very privileged, but not be blessed. Mm-hmm. Because for me to say that I'm blessed, because God's given me or I've acquired whatever car it might be, am I saying that I'm more blessed than the pastor in Africa who's struggling to find a car?
Yeah. Wow.
Am I saying I'm more blessed than they are because I've been blessed with that? Mm-hmm. If I get the bigger house, am I more blessed than the person who's really desiring and going after God but is stuck struggling to fight and find rent? Mm-hmm. Or am I privileged? Mm-hmm. Because I've got something in my life which is a privilege to have. Mm-hmm. Is it a blessing? In some ways, we can say, what a blessing. We had the hashtag blessed series way back in October when we're looking at how to be blessed is to have that supernatural power working for us and how we... Yeah, and that's being blessed. And sometimes the blessing overflows and we do see things come into our lives and do think, man, yeah, somebody's bought me a new iPhone, I'm blessed. But I'm also privileged. But it is possible to live privileged and not be blessed. We know plenty of people who live privileged, but they're not blessed. Yeah. They see copious amounts of stuff in their life, and you think, look how blessed they are. Look at the clothes he always wears. Look at the watch he wears. Look at the car he drives. And we think, they're more blessed than I am. Why? And it's not that they're more blessed. They're just more privileged. And fulfillment doesn't come from being privileged. Fulfillment comes from being blessed. And to be blessed is different. And when God starts to pour a blessing into our lives, we start to see that blessing come forth in our life in such a way that, okay, God, my happiness, whatever, my fulfillment, I can see you working in my life. Blessing is coming into my life because I'm being fulfilled on that call. I'm being fulfilled on the life that you've got for me. Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you set a path up for me in such a way that has caused me to be fulfilled, has caused me to be able to live a life that you've got in such a way that fulfills me to live the life that you've got. I thank you that I can be holy as you are holy because you've called me to live that way. And as I pursue holiness, I see blessing as well.
That's good.
And going to use Steve's copyrighted scripture now. that God grants our heart's desires.
Yeah.
And we often like to think, well, my heart's desire is I'd like to move from 3 bedrooms to 4 bedrooms. I'd like to move from old kitchen to new kitchen. I do actually need a new kitchen. I'm going to get a new kitchen. But old kitchen to new kitchen, and that's my heart's desire. That's what I really, really want. I tell you what I want, what I really, really want. I didn't sing it. And what God's saying is, don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. What God is saying is, when your heart's desires becomes... God doesn't communicate through the Spice Girls, by the way. What God is saying is, when your heart's desire become my heart's desire, yes, then I will grant your heart's desire.
That's good.
Amen. Come on.
When your heart becomes so in line with my desires, the more our heart is in line with God's heart, the more we see our desires fulfilled.
Yeah.
If you're living every single day and you're waking up and your heart's desire is God's heart desire, you're going to go to bed feeling very happy.
Yes.
You're going to go to bed feeling very fulfilled. Mm. And need I say, you're going to go to bed pretty holy. Mm. In the Spirit of God, because you're just going to see, you're going to be knocking them down all the time. Yeah. So things are going to be happening. It's like bang, bang, bang. Wow. What a day. Everything happened. That person I spoke to, they were great. That happened. Like, because it's God's heart's desire. And as we pursue God's heart's desire, as our desire becomes his desire, he's constantly able to grant all the time because that's what he wants to do. And as we live that life, and we recognise, God, I know you love me more than I can ever imagine. I know you've already done more for me than I can ever imagine, but I know you've got more to do for me than I can ever imagine because you love me so much. As I live that life, as I live in such a way that doesn't say, well, I'm just waking up today and I'm pursuing happiness and self-gratification and self-gratitude and getting all this, everything for me and trying to accumulate something. And when we wake up and say, okay, God, what is it today that you've got? I know you love me. And I know that if my heart's in line with you, you're going to lead me into awesome things. You're going to lead me into things that are amazing. And I want to do that. Because I want to live that life. Because I want to put my head down on my pillow tonight knowing that I can rest, knowing that I'm fulfilled in what you called me into today. Because I've seen your heart's desire come through my life. For that person, for that situation, for that particular town, for that particular people group. God, what's your heart's desire? Because I want my heart to beat with yours in such a way that what is an issue on your heart becomes an issue on my heart. What troubles the Father in heaven troubles me. Because I know you love me in such a way that you want me to grasp a hold of those things. And when we start to catch those things, when we start to catch it, the fulfillment comes, the holiness comes, the blessed life comes. And when all that comes together, you're going to have a few points where you're happy. You are going to be able to dance around and sing Pharrell Williams and get all happy, get your happy on. I love that song, actually. It's really cool. It does make you feel happy. And as you live that life, and you're not pursuing after like thinking, well, God, if you're not interested in my happiness, then you can't love me. And you start to shift your mind and you start to recognise that, okay, God, I know you love me. I know that some of these things are just not going to be right. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be in a place at the moment where you're thinking, okay, I've got some stuff I do need to give up that I've actually wrestled out of God's hands and I've actually started doing this. Mm-hmm. And I need to let it go. There's another song there. I've got to let these things go. I've got to let go of it because I've wrestled so much that I've got a hold of it and I've got it in my life and it's got to get out. It's got to break out and I've got to get rid of these things because I thought it was going to make me happy, but it's not. Yeah. And we're thinking, yeah, well, you know, another song, Sheryl Crow, a number of years ago, wrote a song called If It Makes You Happy, It Can't Be That Bad. What a ridiculous statement. I can think of many things that might make me happy, but it's well bad. It's really bad. Really, really bad. It's like, if it makes me happy, it can't be that bad. I can think of a number of things that I might want to watch or listen to or do that might make me happy, but it's not good for me.
That's right.
Some people at the moment, you know, you're thinking, you know, you watch stuff and you think, well, I kind of know it's not right, but it makes me happy, so, and God wants me to be happy, so I'm all right. But, you know, that's not how it works. That's not how God's love works. God loves us enough to say, this is not doing you good.
Yeah.
Eating the whole chocolate pig is not going to do you good. I love you enough to stop you. I love you enough to say, you have the choice to do it. Please. Go ahead. I didn't give Elijah that choice. He's not quite at that stage to make a choice for himself yet. But God, with us fully developed adults, will say, you have the choice. I'm not going to stop you. But it's not going to do you good. And it might make you happy for a little bit, but that happiness isn't going to remain. How's about you follow my way and you do pursue my holiness and you do pursue the life that you've got for me and therefore you enter into fulfillment. And I can guarantee, I can stand here 100% guarantee that to live a life that is fulfilled in God is far greater than living a happy life away from God.
Yes.
Because that life isn't going to last.
That's right. Yeah,
at some point the disappointment is going to come, the happiness is going to diminish. Whether that's now or whether that's when you have to stand before God and give an account for all those things that made you happy then, but God's a bit like, well, how happy are you now? We've got to let those things drop off and make our goal of pursuit of holiness,
yes.
to live like Christ,
yes.
a pursuit of fulfillment, to live the life that Christ has put before us. And how that looks for each of us is completely different. Yes. What I'm going to find fulfillment in is going to be different to what every single person in this room is going to find fulfillment in. Some of those will overlap, some of those will change. But if I start trying to live your life and find fulfillment in your life, I'm going to get pretty stressed and miserable, and I think something doesn't quite fit. This is not working. This is not who I am. I need to be somebody else. I need to be me.
Mm-hmm.
The poster we've got upstairs says, "Be the best you."
Yeah.
What a great word. Be the best you, because God created you to be you.
Yeah.
He loves you so much. He created you unique.
Yeah.
And He loves you so much that He wants you to pursue the life that He's got for you, the fulfillment that He's got for you, that to not be living a life of just all over the place all the time. And I don't do all over the place all the time. I'm just not that kind of person. I know some people who are, and they can kind of deal with chaos, and they can deal with, like, it don't matter if that's a bit of a mess or whatever. It's like, no, things have got to be tidy, things have got to be ordered, things have got to be clean, things have got to be good. And that's the way I work. I find it really difficult. We've just been having a chat about Uganda, haven't we, this morning? I was saying, honestly, I know I'm going to have to go one day, but I'm really struggling to find anything that draws me there at this moment in time. It's going to be a call of God. I was like, you know, everything is kind of like, everything I'm getting told is like, that sounds like, you know, I've woken up sweating, like having nightmares about stuff like that. Some people love that though, and they can deal with that kind of stuff. They can deal with people not following the road systems, and they can deal with, like, dust getting everywhere, and they can literally everywhere, and they can deal with all these different things. And I'm kind of like, oh man, that would be stretching me to the max big time. It's like, what are you all driving like that for? I'd be getting out of the car and trying to order it. I think it's like, please have some system. Doesn't work. Exactly. I'm just getting more and more frustrated. But for some people, they love that. They thrive in that kind of environment, and they find fulfillment in an environment where they're just able to be dropped in. It's like, yeah, it's a bit chaotic, but I kind of love the chaos. I'm kind of like the bouncing around, whereas I'm a bit like, I don't know, maybe I've got some German in me somewhere. I'm very ordered and very kind of like, you know, why is that there? It should be there. Why is that not a couple of more mil over that way? And I can tell when somebody's messed around with my office. Stephen Parker, you never put the seat back down. As in, not the toilet seat. My swivel seat. I can guarantee that on a Wednesday, when Mr. P's borrowed my office, I feel like I've got vertigo. I'm so high up on this chair. I'm like, this is... Drop the chair back down. And people used to have a bit of a joke around at one point, when we used to have to come back here after Desk Cafe, and purposefully used to mess my desk up. I think we did Honours Reward then, and it stopped. But purposefully moving things, because I knew I didn't want it there. I want it to be a certain place. So I've opened up to you guys today. I'm trusting you enough that you don't go and start messing things up for the sake of it, okay? Don't think that'll be really funny. Trust me, it won't be. I will get really upset. It'll be funny for the first few times, but after that, I will be coming after you. Because there's only so much I can take. But I find fulfillment in that, because that's who God's made me, and that's who God has called me to be, and that's the call of my life, to live that way. And if I start pursuing something else, then I'm going to be pursuing a goal that's just not going to ever... I'm never going to find fulfillment trying to be something else. You are never going to find fulfillment trying to be something else. And God loves you enough, more than you know, to say, go after what it is I've got for you.
Yeah.
Go after the fulfillment. Don't pursue happiness, because it's only going to burn up. Pursue fulfillment.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's pray. I'm going to pray for you guys. You can stay seated for a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Yeah, the Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for each and every single one of us. That when you were dying on the cross, yes, you were thinking of our salvation. You were thinking of the life that you'd got, that saved life for us to come into a place of living saved, living delivered, living redeemed and living fulfilled. And I thank you that you now urge each and every single one of us to come through to that place of not running away from the things that you've got, but stepping into the things that you've got, stepping into what it is that you want to do, stepping into that life that's going to be so fulfilled because you love us so much that you don't look down and think, well, yeah, you can have that because it's going to make you happy. You look down and say, no, I'm looking out for your best interest. Don't do that. Don't do that because it might make you happy for now, but don't do it because pursue fulfillment. That we would find a fulfilling life in Christ, that in this life we would be so fulfilled that when we get to the next life, when we pass through, we can say, Jesus, thank you. My life was so fulfilling. I'm so excited about coming into heaven, but I'm so excited about the life that I've lived because I was fulfilled. I didn't pursue happiness. I pursued holiness. I pursued fulfillment. I pursued the things that you wanted. I worked and I prayed so that my heart would beat in time with yours. I thank you, Jesus, that you give us all these calls. You give us all these instructions. You give us all these directions because there is more. That we can't imagine the love that you have for us. We can't grasp it in our human thinking. We try to minimize it. We try to put it into a box. We try to put it into something that we can understand. We try to come up with parables and all these different things to say this is how much God loves you, but yet we know it still doesn't cover the whole measure, that it is truly immeasurable. Lord, help us today to recognize that when we go from this place, that we wouldn't try to measure your love, we wouldn't question your love, we wouldn't doubt your love, but we would just recognize God's love for me is immeasurable. The tape measures go away and the rulers go away and we stop trying. That we recognise that it's a pointless task. That we just accept the fact that you love us more than we're going to ever understand. And you love us enough to ensure that we pursue after something that you have for each and every single one of us. That we're not going to be restricted to just trying to find things that make us happy. But we're going to live a life that makes us fulfilled. We're going to live the life and the call that you've got for each and every single one of us. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you know, Jesus, he died on the cross and we sang that song and we're going to sing that song again in a bit. And we so often hear, those of us that are around church a lot, we hear all the time the message of the gospel. And sometimes just to hear it all over again, just bring something fresh alive in us. And I urge you, you know, remind yourself daily of what Jesus did. That God sent Jesus to earth to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to come back to life again, to prove that he defeated death, and to say, I now offer you salvation because I have paid the price. We all need that price paying. Not just as a one-off, but we constantly need to be coming to him. God, I've sinned. God, I've fallen. God, I've done this wrong. Forgive me. Because I know that through your blood and through your sacrifice on the cross, I can be saved and I can go on being saved. I can go on stepping into the things that you've got. And Jesus died for you. Jesus died. He took your place. All those wrong things, somebody's going to have to pay the price for those things. If we haven't put our trust in Jesus, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus, you are the one that's going to have to pay the price for the wrong things you've done. And you maybe think, I've not done many things wrong. I kind of live a good life. But we all know that we fall short. We just do little things. A bad thought, a bad word towards somebody. Even coveting something that somebody else has is kind of, just causes us to not be in line, and it gives enough reasons for God on that day when we come before him, when we die, to say, I'm sorry. What I see here is a guilty paper. You cannot come into heaven. But when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, he is able to see a paper that says, set free, redeemed, delivered, saved, restored, fulfilled. And he's able to say, oh, I see your paper here is clean because you put your trust in Jesus. You put your faith in Jesus. You live the life Jesus had for you. Enter in to the fullness of heaven. Enter into the glory of heaven, my precious child. And God loves us enough to have done that. But he continues to go on loving us enough in such a way that he wants us to live that life now. It's not just about the destination, it's about the journey. It's about living fulfilled now and getting to that time when we pass over in from this life into the next to say, God, I'm so pleased that I followed your call. I'm so pleased I responded to that call when you said, yeah, you need to put your faith in Jesus today because you've done a lot of things that need to be changed. And what I love the most is that once that decision's made, God loves us enough that he just casts it away, that it's gone, that our sins are forgiven. When we've repented, which just means that we come before God and we just say sorry for the wrong things we've done, but then we make a choice to not turn back to them. God loves us enough to recognise that that's the life he wants us to live. Jesus loved us enough to die an horrible, bloody death in our place. He stepped in every one of our court cases, every single one of us, at some point, he stepped into the courtroom and said, I know this man's guilty, but I'm taking his punishment. I know you have just cause to punish this person, but I am taking their punishment. I'm paying their debt. I'm taking the punishment. I have taken that punishment. I have taken that debt. And as you put your trust and faith in him, it's not just a one-time thing. It's a journey and a life-changing thing that sets you off on that process. And, you know, the life of being loved by God, the life of being blessed, the life of being holy is a process, is a journey. And as we go on that track towards him, as we take that step to come to a place of salvation, say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of the wrong things I've done. Help me live the life that you've got for me. And as we take that step into a place of deliverance and dealing with the things in our past and just recognising that there's some stuff we need to get rid of, that it doesn't become a situation where it's like, I've got to give this up and that up and that up. But we find ourselves in a situation where, well, it's not that we have to give them up, but we find ourselves living a life where we want to because we're pursuing holiness. And to be more like God is to leave those things behind. As we come to a place of redemption and we step into a redeemed life, that God presses that restorative factory setting button in our lives and says, now become who I created you to be. Now become the person you are supposed to be. Now become who you are meant to be, because this is where your fulfillment starts. This is where you start to find out who you truly are and what your destiny is. And as we do that and we start on that road and we find the fulfillment in being who we were called to be and doing what we were called to do, and nothing in this world, regardless of how much we pursue after it, is going to match up to that. Yeah. Nothing, you will not find fulfillment in anything other than the life that God has got for you. You will not find fulfillment in a life that this world can offer. It doesn't matter how good it looks. It doesn't matter how appealing it looks. It doesn't matter if you go and win X Factor or The Voice or any other talent show. It's not going to last. But the fulfilled life in Christ lasts. And that's the life that he did. And you know, this morning we've heard about how much God loves us. And I'm just going to ask the band to come and just start playing, please. He just started going to the instrumental of that wondrous cross. If you are here today and the message that you've heard has really stirred something inside of you to say, I recognise I've strayed from where God wanted me. I made that choice a while ago, but I'm not in that place anymore. I need to get back on track. Then in a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to just raise your hand. I'm going to get everybody else to close their eyes because we just want to give people some privacy. And if you're here and it's the first time you've even heard this, you're thinking, I kind of knew about church and I kind of knew some of this stuff, but I didn't know that's what it really meant. And you've never really made a decision to put your faith in Jesus and to say sorry for the wrong things you've done and to step into the wrong thing. You've never stepped into that first step of salvation. You've never stepped into where it is that God wants you to be, then today's for you as well. And today's a great day to make that journey and make that step. And just as the band are playing, and if you know that that's you and you just want to respond all over again to God and just make that recommitment to him, then I want you to stick your hand up if you're here and you just want to make that commitment for the first time and say, God, I'm sorry, I recognize I need you in my life. I need you to say, come into my place, to step into what it is that he's got for you, to step into a place of salvation, to start on that journey. And I guarantee it's not an easy journey. You're not going to be guaranteed happiness all the time, but you're going to be guaranteed fulfillment as you live the life he's got. And just as we let the musicians play, if that's you, you know you're in either of those categories, if you just stick up your hand, then I'm going to pray. Cool. Yeah, I'm going to pray. And as I do, just say the prayer with me. If everybody else says the prayer as well, we can never pray it too much. And as we pray together, recognize that this is a prayer that's life-changing. It makes a difference, and it makes a difference the first time we do pray to God and say, God, I'm sorry. But it makes a difference every day. And we want to join with the people that want to make that decision to change or make that decision today. Those of us that are on that journey, let's all pray together. Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you that you gave your life for me.
Thank you
that through you I'm saved, delivered, redeemed, and fulfilled. Forgive me for all the wrong things I've done.
Help me to turn away from them.
By the power and the guiding of your Spirit,
that I will live a life that pursues holiness.
Jesus, I put my faith in you today.
Direct my steps.
Direct my way.
Help me make the right choices.
Help me to live a life that it sees fulfillment
in this life,
and that as I cross over into the next life, that I know that I can have a sure and certain faith.
That heaven is my destination.
Thank you, Jesus.
That the fullness of heaven
is not just reserved for then.
But I can live in it now.
Jesus, I want to worship you.
I thank you that you love me more than I ever know.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Let's give Jesus a clap.